one verse. Yodata Kishalom Oholecha, Rabbi Osai. The title of a beautiful, what's called over here, Pirkei Hadrocha Lechai Habayis, Es Adoneinu Moreinu V'Rabbeinu, Hagoyen Hatzadik Abchaim Friedlin Azatzal, Menayel Ruchni B'Shivas Ponevish B'nei Brak, and also in the Hanegev in the Tivot. Okay, this is a Madura Chadosh already, it was already Zatzal, in Tovshin Mem Tes. That's 1989. We're talking about, this is over 20 years old, it's Madura Chadosha. And it talks about the importance of marriage. If we're learning a whole year of Osai about all kinds of interesting things about marriage, let's discuss a regular marriage, a happy marriage with no yibum and no chalitza and no get. And a happy, how should a happy marriage work? Right? How should a happy marriage work? So Rav Friedlin de Zatzal is a kudrus for chasanim. I know I'm not discussing chasanim here, but I'm not sure when you're a chasan you'll have a chance to get such a shmooze. So I'm giving you what is written over here in advance. For those already married, actually we have one chasan here. For those already married, it's even more important to always renew and refresh the marriage. And he says, Beferish, Rav Friedlander, you'll have me toeles, gam eile shekvar nesua mispar shanim. They'll understand it right away. Chosn won't really understand it right away. Someone who's married understands it immediately. Immediately. Okay? Good. So he says that the young men, when they heard his shmuz of chasanim, they said, I don't need this. I don't need this. But after they got married, they said, oh, the Rebbe was right. I did need it. So I'm just giving you his introduction to this beautiful country. Of course, he says, you can reach these, you can learn my lessons here from experience. You make a mistake, you fall, you have a problem, then you figure it out. They quote a spray, Ein Chochan Kabbalah Nisayon. He quotes a Gemara in Gittin, Ein Adam Omer Al-Divrei Torah, Elam Kein Nichshel Behem Tchila. He sees too many people that even don't even that, they still don't learn. Even for their mistakes, they don't learn. But the better way is to prepare in advance. He asks a question that in previous generations, whoever heard of a chasen shvuz, Rabbos, when I got married, the word chasen shvuz didn't exist. It didn't exist. There was no such thing. Now, chasen shvuz, what happened? He says as follows. Our young men, this is amazing, Rav Friedlin, our young men did not go through the difficulties of previous generations. And they don't know how to handle a tough situation. Everything's right away. Everyone's expecting immediate solutions. No one has patience. Everyone's used to the luxuries nowadays. Easy solutions. And now they all think it increases the ego. Everything's given to me. Hakol magili, what I once called in Yiddish, the Eskumptvir generation. It's coming to me. Magili, it's coming to me. It's coming to me. And therefore, it limits the ability to make peace between you and a spouse. It limits the, what he calls it, the Muchanut Leviturim, the readiness and willingness to give in. And therefore, this kind of a chasen shmuz is much more important nowadays in 2012 than it was back in the, even when he was writing it, presumably in the 80s sometimes, or maybe the 70s. Kavachoma now. Oh. Most Shalom Bayis problems come from you. It's a fallacy. Oh, we'll go to a marriage counselor, everything will be solved. That assumes that I'm perfect, she's perfect. It's just a relationship that's a problem. Rabbi said, nothing can be further from the truth. You're not perfect, probably she's not perfect. And that's what causes the problems. It's not having people, he has his therapist, she has her therapist, and they have their therapist. Rabbi says, listen to my she, you want any therapists. Not you, I hope not her either, and not the two of you. Just listen to what I'm saying. The best therapy is to avoid the problem in the first place. The machlokes between me and my very esteemed rabbinic colleague in Riverdale, Rabbi Rosenblatt Shlit. I say, I teach my talmidim how not to fight with the wife. He says, I teach my talmidim how to make up after they fight with their wife. So I guess maybe a little bit of both. But I'm trying to be preventive medicine. Preventive medicine. Okay. He's explaining when a person gets married, there's a tremendous change in his life. Yeshiva Bachar, I'm sorry to use these words. Forgive me for insulting anybody. I'm just using his words. Chai be'ikor im atzmo. He does it himself. Eino margish maspik ol hadagol azulas. He doesn't have a sufficient understanding of worrying about another individual. Now, it's a completely change his whole, everything. It's to worry about his wife, her physical needs, her spiritual needs. It's a tremendous transition, which requires attention to what he calls over here, shipur amidos, to improving your midos. And specifically, to get out of the narrow circle of anochiyut, of ego. He doesn't mince words there, the rabbi. He's talking to the yeshiva boys in Punovich. You don't think they're not bums. But these problems exist. You have to become more involved in midas hachesed and worrying about other people. He says, before my kuntres came the kuntres of Harav Shlomo Valba, which I have also in my... Was anyone here when we learned that kuntres in the last couple of years? Last we did that? 2 years ago? 2 years ago I pulled out Rabbi Shlomo Valba's kuntres. Last we had the rib, the cattle, and the bird? What was that? No, didn't have that last year? Nothing last year?
I think we still did revolve
last year. Last year, okay. So now we have a stage two, or a Friedlander. Okay. These are the top mashgichim of this man. Okay, Rabbi Osai. We have, Rabbi Osai, the idea of Ezer Kenegdo. Ezer Kenegdo, I spoke to you last week about this, with what the Ravid says. And he explains, Rabbi Osai, Lo tov ayos adam levado. What is the word tov? He quotes the famous Ramchal. The Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Matata, writes, why did Hashem create the world? Just to quote that part over here. I'm telling you this. Why did Hashem create the world? Hashem needed the world? Answer the Ramchal, that's the context of it. Das tunas amadalit. Mechok hatov lehetiv. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the ultimate tov, the ultimate good. And Hashem wanted to do good to others. Therefore, He created an entire world, so we should be able to be zoch in olam haba, to earn it, not to get it nabad the kisufa, which we wouldn't enjoy, bread of shame if you don't enjoy it. The whole world Hashem created, with all the look around you, all the buildings and was created so Kadosh Baruch Hu can give you olam haba. The whole world with all the nisyonis. See on this thing here in front of me, it's called an internet screen or whatever it is. It's a new Nisayan. Why did Hashem create this? Okay, human beings created it, of course, but why did Hashem give them the cup to make a new Nisayan? So if you avoid the pitfalls of the internet, you get more of them than your grandfather. He didn't have an internet. He had other Nisayans. He didn't worry about Chilul Shabbos. You don't have to worry about it. So everyone has their own Nisayanis, Rabbi. So Nisayan is a challenge. Midrashan Nisa. Pick you up. Sham Niso, look at, you're supposed to know Chumash and Rashi, right? Sham Niso, did you look at Chumash and Rashi? Chumash and Rashi, Parshas B'Shalach. Right, but it's still before Mishpat, the Rebbe says, it's just a week and a half ago. Right. So what does Rashi say in that pasuk? Sham, Samach, Chok, Mishpat, V'Sham Niso. Well, Niso, it was so difficult, they had no water, the water was bitter, whatever it may be. Right? So you look at Rashi. Rashi tells you what it says. What does it mean? Pasuk Chof Hei in Perek Tezvov. V'sham Nisoho. What does it mean? L'om V'rok Shi'arpo. It was a Nisayon. If you look in... sorry, it's not a Rashi. So one of the Mefarshim, Mamash, on the page, they say Nisoho means lift him up. Pick him up. Because if you pass an Nisar at the end, you're picked up. The kidney sauce I've wrong. Lift you. Rabosai, we are human beings. Mahu afato. If Hashem is Tov, Tov Hashem lakol. We say every morning twice. We have to try to be Tov. But what is the what does it mean Tov? Miderech haTov leHeitiv. The only way to be Tov is to be made to somebody else. How can we do so? So we try to find opportunities. This one is a chesed, that one is chesed. Getting married is the ultimate opportunity for constant hatova to somebody else, your spouse. And that's the ultimate mahu afato, the ultimate volachta bedrochov. And Hashem created man and woman separate, k'dei sheyuchlu leheitiv zeh em zeh. That's the Yisod. That's the only way. You know, we learned, I mentioned it to you in one of the previous shurim, so about the Rambam's Shita, about delaying marriage for Talmud Torah. So we said, the Gemara says, in Masechet Maariv Katan, that Talmud Torah is more important than any mitzvah, unless it's e'efshar yadei acherim. Mitzvah cannot be done by anybody else. You have to close your Gemara and do it. This is marriage. You're married to your wife. No one else can provide what you provide for her. Nobody else. Whether it be physically, whether it be financially, whether it be emotionally. No one else. E'ef shaydei acherim. Close the Gemara and do it. The Ramban explains that Shera doesn't mean this week's Parsha. Right here. Shabbat. You read it this morning, right? You paid it. You were up this morning when they landed. Right? Everybody said you were paying attention. Sheirok susa bonasa lo yigra. So Rashi says it means mezonos. Susa means clothing. Ona's ona, tashmish. Ramban says no. We pass mezonos to the rabbanon. So what does it mean sheira? Ramban explains sheira means physical support. Not just in the context of Tashmish, because that's what he calls over here Tzorachei HaNafshiyim. That's what she needs, emotionally. And if the husband does not fulfill his obligations towards her, he embarrasses her, he degrades her, he hurts her. She feels herself lowly. Every man who gets married has to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Should become Tov and Meitiv. He calls marriage, he says the house is a schoolhouse, Beis HaSefer. 24 hours, all parts of your body, your money, your soul, everything. That's what Ezer means. What is Kenegdo? What is Kenegdo? Of course, it's Svarno. Kenegdo means she's equal to you. He has an example of a scale. We're going on a scale, right? So there's physical weight. So no one's equal in physical weight. But in axiological weight, value weight, kinegdo, your wife is your equal. I repeat for this a third time. Your wife is your equal. Whoever thinks that his wife is somehow less than him is a misogynist and is not reflecting the Torah. I know what they say, Shalom Asanish, I know all about it. Shalom Asanish is limited to mitzvahs, mefurish and the Tosefta and the Yerushalm, black on white, not apologetics. Your wife is your equal. Isha shava l'ish b'tzelem udmus. B'tzelem l'kim osa sa adam, all adam, male and female. Okay, she's equal, but she's not identical. As I mentioned to you last week, we had the Rambam. I don't read it again. The different roles and different emotions and different everything. But ultimately, they're equal. Equal, but different. This week's Parsha, Rabosai, Im Kesef Talve Es Ami Es Ha'oni Imach, says Rashi, Imach, Histakel bi'atzmecha ki'ilu ata oni. Why must I view myself as if I'm an oni? He's an ani. I give him a dollar. No. It's impossible for me to do the chesed properly unless I get into this, under the skin, into the soul of the poor person. I feel it as if I need it. As if I need it. How much more, Sir Abosai, that a man has to figure out a little bit about the female nature to understand what his wife needs from him. She's the Ani Imach. She needs things from you. You got to figure out where she's coming from. Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, Rabbi Yossi called his wife his home. What does that mean? They say in Yiddish, Agris de Shtub, or they have in Hebrew, Dash mi bayit le bayit. Right, that's the base of the wish, though. Right? Agree to your house, me to your wife. What does that mean? What does that mean? See, quotes over here, again in Sefer Shmos. Vayavidu Mitzrayim es b'nei Yisrael b'forech. They put the man's work on the women and the woman's work on the men. That was the most impossible. They couldn't do it. You'll say, what do you mean? A man's work on a woman, she doesn't have the physical strength, the muscles to do it. But a woman's work for a man should be easy. It's physically less taxing. The answer is, Rabosai, yes, it's less taxing physically. But I get no nachas out of it. I don't like it. I don't want it. It's a terrible thing. I remember we read The River, the Kettle, and the Bird. He had the following story. Rabbi Feldman Shlita from now Rosh Yeshiva Neri Yisrael. A man told his wife on an Arab Shabbos, honey, I know you're under pressure. I volunteer for 1 hour, whatever you want me to do. 1 hour. Whatever you tell me to do. And I don't have it in front of me. I'll bring it up next time. Goes through a list of what happens. He asks her to please pick up the baby, put down the baby, and peel the potatoes, put down the peeler, and put the water up in the sink. There's 10, 20, 15 different things that he's... After all, he goes crazy. Honey, I can't do it. After half an hour, he's already, he's gone. Can't do it. She does it every single week, every single day. So that's where Rav Feldman says in his Seva Espshat in the Gemara, of Noshim Datan Kalos. Sounds like it's a put down. That's not what it means. Datan Kalos means like, you know, you're light on your feet. A woman, she's able to go from thing to thing to thing to thing. Men are heavier. They're better at focusing on one thing. We're not afraid to say it. You can't say it in the world outside that anyone's better than anybody else. You could fire from your job in any university for saying what I'm saying. But it's true, nonetheless. It's the scientists who have tenure and not afraid of losing it are saying it, befeirish. They're different. President of Harvard had to quit his job. He was fired from Harvard over this. Harvard? What was that? He said it was obviously true to everybody, but he couldn't say it in Harvard without getting fired. Pill they ploy. Harvard, the liberal university. Yeah. The differences between men and women. I'm not married. It's true. So therefore, the woman, Rabosai, has more feelings. I mentioned it last time. She's more sensitive. She says, I'm saying it clear. She's more sensitive. The Gemara says she cries more easily. Everyone knows this is true. For her, the intuition is greater. She sees things better. Her feelings are above the rational thought process. To argue with a woman based on what you think is rational is a waste of your breath, because she is emotional. But you explain to her, A plus B is C. Doesn't go in, because it's emotional. You're thinking like a logical man. Men are more logical, women are more emotional. Men, for example, are more careful about order, beauty, cleanliness. For the woman, that is the most important thing. The man, he sits and learns, leaves his swarm all over the place. She says, put him back, please, honey. He says, why should I put him back? I'm going to use him again tomorrow. He doesn't, it makes no sense. Taka makes no sense. But that's what she wants. But what's happening? It's midnight, he's going to sleep. No one's walking into the house till the next day. Next, he's going to pull him all out. Makes no sense. If I have a 20 swarm on my desk, I'm set with a Shver Sugya. And they're on my desk, it's midnight, I'm going to sleep. She says, please put him away. Says, honey, we're going to sleep. No one's in the house. tomorrow morning I'm waking up after that, I'm going to go right back to the 20 Svarim. Why should I put them away? You're being silly. You're talking logically. Just put them away. I give you my word, it's faster to put them away than to argue with them. You won't win at the end. Just put them away. Kavachomer. Bebenoshel kavachomer, Rabbi Osai. If someone else walks into the house. I'll end the Shia today with another story of Rabbi Feldman's book, River the Kettle and the Bird. This is an amazing story. A couple was desperate to sell their house. They're moving out of town and they had to sell it right away. And they couldn't find a buyer. One Sunday morning, the guy goes to shul and he's talking. Yeah, he's talking. Oh yeah, I just came. I came to check out the neighborhood for Shabbos and I'm looking to buy a house. I like it. I want to move in here. I want to come. Great. What's your time? I have a plane at 2 o'clock. I have to come now. They will leave to the airport in an hour. He calls his wife. Honey, great news. I have a buyer. Good, okay. But he wants to come now to see the house. She says, no. No. House is a mess. Honey, it's going to cost us $60,000 if you don't get this guy's house sold. Sorry, you can't come. That makes sense. It was $60,000 or whatever the number they threw out there because they're not going to get a buyer. Says Rav Feldman Shalita, no, she is right. For the woman, the neatness and the beauty and the order in her house, that defines her. You men, we men, sorry, let me speak to myself. We men can never understand this. So what? For $60,000, you'll look like a little, won't be so neat. He's not going to not buy the house because it's a little mess. It's always right after Shabbos. It's a mess. Everyone knows. A house that's not a mess after Shabbos, what kind of house is that? She wouldn't let him in. And her felt with pasta, she was right. How do you like that? How about that? So Rabbi Osai, our time is up. But in that event, future shmooze, we'll hopefully get a chance. We'll try to learn more about these very important parts of a proper marriage with Siyata Nishma. Shabbos, everyone.